John chapter 12, verses 27 through 36. And here's the reading of God's word. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, then you may become sons of light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the ways that you've been speaking to us for the past week or so about dying to ourselves, to bear fruit, to pattern our lives after our Lord. And Lord, as we look upon this passage and see our Lord suffering and dying, and preparing for the cross, oh Lord, let him minister to us and let us remember how great our Lord is, how he loved us so much, how he loves so much to glorify you. And Lord, we pray that this word would help us to see and to know what it means to die to ourselves. Father, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When we think of Jesus' sufferings and death, we think of the cross, and rightly so. The cross is really where everything kind of culminates. But we must not forget that Jesus' suffering and death actually began when he was first born. That Jesus becoming a man was a suffering in and of itself. We sometimes forget that Jesus was God. He was the Son of God, and then he became a man. That in and of itself was a suffering. And from here in the book of John, the section right here, as well as the previous section last week, up until the crucifixion, Jesus shows us what it means to die to ourselves. He shows us what it looks like to die to ourselves. And in a way, we see these many deaths along the way as Jesus goes to the cross. And so that's what we'll be looking at for the next couple of months. We'll look at the life of Jesus. We'll look at the things he does, how he responds to people and situations, and to see what it means to die to yourself. To see what it means to hate your life. To see what it means to be a servant. Now, as Jesus begins, he says, now my soul is troubled. Or now is my soul troubled. And Jesus here is thinking about his impending death. The cross has never been near. And he's anticipating the pain and the agony of the cross. And Jesus was going through the kind of internal turmoil that affects you physically, where you lose strength and you have knots in your stomach. And the only experience in which I can remotely identify was when I was young and I had to do public speaking. I remember marking the date on the calendar in which I was to go up in front of the class. And I remember the buildup of stress leading up to that day. And I remember even as a kid, praying to Jesus to come so that I wouldn't have to go up in front of the class. And I remember on the day of, my body would just be trembling. I remember every single time leading up to getting up in front of the class, right under my eyes, it would just start twitching. And maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. And really, the anticipation of the suffering was just as hard as the suffering itself. The anticipation of going up in front of the class was just as hard and as difficult as actually going up there and speaking. And Jesus understands that kind of suffering, that internal kind, the kind that leads up to dying to yourself. There's a suffering even in that. Now, to get an idea of what Jesus was facing at the cross, you got to remember who he was. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the perfect man and the Son of God. So to find him shaken to the core by what's before him, we realize that what awaits him at the cross is totally beyond anything we can understand. The suffering wasn't just physical. The suffering was spiritual. It was emotional. It was social in the sense of it was relational. And it was psychological. There was so much suffering involved there. And Jesus goes on to say, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." And this is revealing. Jesus had options. He had a choice before him to save himself or to save us. And if he chose to save us, it would mean death, an agonizing death. And so here's Jesus, and he has a choice to opt out of the cross. And we find our Lord admitting the struggle. And there's a part of him that desires to save himself. So when you consider the kind of suffering that he would endure and the fact that here Jesus had a choice in the matter and then choosing to enter into the suffering, we see his love. We see his love for us. To save us meant the cross, and Jesus said yes. And Jesus said yes to suffering. And Jesus said yes to death. Because he loves us so much. And how many times have we faced similar situations where we have a choice, either to save ourselves or to save others? Some of those situations are very serious. Others are somewhat trivial. But that happens to us every day. Do we save ourselves? Oh, do we save others? As many of you know, it's been very cold lately. And in our house, we've been having, we always have drama about who turns off the lights. A lot of times, you know, I find myself, I'm in bed, Laura's in bed. We're either like maybe reading books or maybe looking at our phones for the last time. But we're both under the covers. And then, you know, I realize, oh, shoot, the lights are still on in the hallway, or our main light up above is still on, and the switch is way over there. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, who's going to turn off the lights? Who's going to get out of the covers, deal with the cold, and then turn off the lights and jump back in? And the thing is, it feels so comfortable just to be in the bed, right? And so I'm starting to think of, do I save myself or do I save Laura? And I'm thinking through a few options here. I'm thinking, okay, if I close my book and just start sleeping, then she'll have to get up, right? Or then I'll remember, you know what? She was actually the last one into bed, so she's responsible to turn off the lights. And so should I pull that card out? Or do I die to myself, get up, turn off the lights, and then get back into bed? I'm ashamed to tell you, a lot of times I'll see her and I'll close my book real fast and go to bed, and, you know, she has to do it. You know, even our boys, they share a room together. They have turning the lights off drama too. They're fighting all the time. It's your turn. No, it's your turn. But we all have these situations where it's like, you know, do I save myself or do I save others? If I save others, then I have to die, right? Now, when we're in these kinds of situations, it's important that we remember Jesus. Because first of all, he's been in that exact same situation. He knows that struggle of having to choose between saving yourself or saving others. And so he suffered in that same way. And when you're in that place and you're deciding and you're struggling through that, he understands you. Jesus totally gets that. But that's not all we're to think about when we think about Jesus. We are also to remember what he did for us. That as he was choosing between himself and us, he chose to save us. Right? He died to himself to save us. And doesn't that start changing our hearts? And moving our hearts to die to ourselves. And at that point, when we really think about that, how can we actually, and for me, like, stay, you know, under the covers, close my book and go to sleep and make my wife do it? You know, when we think about what Jesus did for us, you know, it changes us. And all of a sudden, when we get into these situations, where whether it's save myself or save others, we can make that same choice as our Lord, where we can die to ourselves because he died for us. I remember leading an evangelism team on campus during my college days, and some of you have heard me share some of that. Now, for me, talking to complete strangers and sharing about Jesus and inviting them to church is a death in so many ways. Number one, because I'm an introvert. Number two, often those you talk to can be very condescending. And even though I led the team and I did it regularly, it never got easier. It was always hard. And I remember having to give myself pep talks to get myself ready to go out. And here's the thing. Anytime we come across a situation where we ought to die, we often have conversations with ourselves, don't we? And what are we saying to ourselves? For example, when we deal with injustice, when we're having to endure it, whether it's at home or in the workplace or wherever, even on the road perhaps, what do we say to ourselves in that moment? I think we often find ourselves saying things like, they don't know who they're dealing with. I'm not going to back down. They're not going to get away with it. Sometimes we're on the road and we see someone cutting in, and we say things like, oh, no, no, you don't. You know, sometimes we'll roll the window, we'll wag our finger, we'll do something, we'll give them the death stare or something. But we're always having these conversations with ourselves. What about something like saying sorry, and you know you need to say sorry? What are the things that you often say to yourself? A lot of times it's, man, I'm not going to say sorry because I'm not going to let them think that they won. I'm not going to let them think that they're better than me or they're more right than me. So I'm not going to do it. Or what about something like serving others? A lot of times we say to ourselves, they don't deserve it. What have they done for me? Right? And in each case, we don't act or think like servants who are supposed to die, even though that is who we are. Instead, we often act and think like kings who ought to rule. Now, what gets Jesus to press forward to something as horrible as the cross? Well, we find him talking to himself, don't we? And what does he say? He says this, but for this purpose, I have come to this hour. That's what he says. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Jesus reminds himself of the purpose of his life, and his purpose is to die and to save his people. And Jesus said elsewhere, he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He reminds himself that the cross is the very reason why he's there and why he came to the earth. And for that reason, he is so resolved, though it's hard, he's so resolved to suffer and to die. He's so committed to it. And he doesn't shrink back from it. And we must take our cues from Jesus. That when we face situations in which we must die, we must have a talk with ourselves. We need to say something like this. I'm a Christian. I'm a servant of Christ. And Christ has laid down the pattern and purpose of my life, and that is to die to myself. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's what the Christian says. And my life now is to love God and to love others. We need to be thinking, as Christians, this is what we do. We die. We die to ourselves. This is our MO. We are servants who die. Now, what is at the core of your identity and purpose in life? And how you answer that question will have a huge influence on whether you die. For example, if you find your identity and purpose in being a hardworking professional, you will find great motivation to die in the workplace. You'll give your all to your company. You're going to serve upper management well. You're going to be willing to work long days. You're going to go the extra mile on projects. But if that's where your identity and purpose lie, will there be any motivation for you to die in other contexts? Like when you have to go home and bathe the kids? Or when you have to go home and work out a conflict with your spouse? Or work out a conflict with a friend or another relationship? Are you going to have any motivation to die in those contexts if your identity and purpose is being a hardworking professional? We must remind ourselves that at the core of our being, we are followers of Christ. And we are called to die all the time and in every place. You know, some of you here are new parents. I feel like every month a new kid pops up in our sanctuary on Sundays. These are things you need to remember when your baby needs attention and your spouse is dead tired. These are the things you need to remember. Hey, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a servant of Christ. What I do is I die. And so it's even practical when you have a new kid and you see that your spouse is dead tired. Would you be willing to die to let your spouse live? And that might mean sleep or something else, right? This is very practical. It enters every aspect of our lives. It's in those moments you gotta say to yourself, I'm a Christian, this is what we do. We die. We don't save ourselves, we save others so that others could live. Now Jesus closes by saying, Father, glorify your name. And this is such an important statement, because for Jesus, his sense of purpose to die was actually part of a larger purpose to glorify God. So if I could put it another way, his commitment to die was driven by his passion to glorify God. Jesus was saying, Father, if my death will give you glory, I'm all for it and I'm all in. Jesus loved to glorify God, and that's what he lived for, and that's why he suffered, and that's why he died, and that's ultimately what propelled him to the cross. He loved to glorify the Father, and he knew this was the opportunity to really shine the glory of God. And you know, God is glorified when we die to ourselves. So here's the thing. If we love to glorify God, we will develop a willingness to die to ourselves more and more. And we see the relationship between death to self and the glory of God, not only in Jesus, but we also see it in the hearers. Look with me in chapter 12 at verses 42 and 43. I'll read it for you. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Do you see that? You know, there are people in high position who believed in Jesus, but they would not publicly confess their faith because it would have been social suicide. They would have been put out of the synagogue. They would be regarded as outsiders. They would have lost their standing and their position. And here the Apostle John, he gives the explanation. What was behind all that is because they love the glory of man more than the glory of God. And so because they had this lukewarm conviction about the glory of God, they were unwilling to die to themselves and to publicly align themselves with Jesus. And so what we see is that we all need to be so captured and captivated by the glory of God. Now, earlier Jesus said that his death will produce fruit and the glory of God. We saw that in last week's passage, right? And if you want to know exactly what he meant by fruit and the glory of God, he explains that in verses 31 and 32. So he was talking more broadly last week about how his death will bear fruit and glorify God. But now he's going to get into some more specifics about what that means. And the first thing he says is that his death is going to cause Satan to be cast out. The ruler of the world will be cast out. There's an important truth here. Jesus dying on the cross was not just about the forgiveness of sins and the forgiveness of your sins. It was not just about forgiveness of sins. It was to destroy Satan's power and dominion. In a sense, Jesus' death was the knockout punch that sent Satan reeling. Now, this does not mean that Satan no longer is around, but it does mean that his kingdom is a crumbling kingdom. And Satan is no longer on his throne, but he's on the run. And it's now just a matter of time before he's completely destroyed. Okay, that's a truth out there. It's way up there. Okay, how does that connect to me personally? On a Wednesday at 1 p.m. or something like that. How does it connect? We got to know this, brothers and sisters, that Satan, our enemy, is a limping enemy. He is a wounded enemy. He is a retreating enemy. And so we fight from a position of strength thanks to Jesus. Now, Satan wants to get us to believe that he's larger than life. And that he's big and he's powerful. And that we should just break and we should just give up. But we see no, that when Jesus went to the cross, he went into the dragon's lair and he slayed the dragon. Dragon's still alive right now, but weak and wounded. Brothers and sisters, don't ever give up on your spiritual life. Don't ever feel like you are powerless. The Holy Spirit that is within you is far greater than the enemy that we fight, Satan. And Jesus goes on to talk about the fruit and the glory, and he says, all people will be drawn to me. I will draw all people to myself. So Jesus is talking about how he's going to take people out of darkness, men out of darkness and into the light. He's going to breathe life into those who are dead in sin. And really, part of the glory is in that word all. All men. And certainly Jesus was thinking about those Greeks who wanted to see Jesus, who went up to the disciples and said, hey, we want to see Jesus. Certainly Jesus was thinking about them, and he was saying his death would be the salvation of all kinds of people. It wouldn't be just the Jews. Greeks would be included too. Gentiles. But all also means the rich and the poor. It means the Pharisee and the prostitute. It means the religious and the godless and the pagan. And it means you and it means me. And so we find that Jesus' salvation is a wide salvation and it's a gracious salvation. And we see the glory of God. It is at the cross that we see the glory of God. We see his power and his righteousness. He takes Satan and he throws him out. But we also see his love and his mercy. He draws all people to himself. Do you not know the glory of God? Then you need to look at the cross. If there's some of us, we're not truly captured by the glory of God, you need to look at the cross. You know, as beautiful as a sunset is, or as majestic as a mountain is, none of that can compare to thinking about and meditating on the glory that comes from the cross and Jesus' death on the cross. You know, I hear a lot today about how people say, man, I experience God just as much, you know, going into nature and sitting by a river. I experience God just as much over there than in church. What they don't understand is that the full glory of God is found in the cross. How can you say that? Now, if they're by a river and they're thinking about the cross, then maybe I'll accept what they have to say. But what do we do here when we get together? We think about the glory of God found in our salvation through Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. And that's where the glory is. God's power and his righteousness and his love and his mercy. It's all found right in there. And like Jesus, when we die, the fruit is God's glory. You know, when we decide to suffer and die, it creates windows for God's glory to shoot out and to shine. And you know what? That's for our benefit, and that also benefits others. It benefits us because we're growing and we're becoming more like Jesus. But it also benefits others because they see the beauty and the reality of God through you, through your suffering, and through your death. People see the glory of God when we die to ourselves, and God loves to reveal himself through weak and humble vessels. Everybody needs to see the glory of God and to see it often. Everybody. You know, our unbelieving family and friends and coworkers, how much do they need to see the glory of God? And how can they see that in you? You know, it's when you die to yourself. When you do that, it's strange to them, but it's gloriously strange. We got to do it for the unbelievers who are around us. But you know what? For those of you who have kids, they also need to see the beauty and the reality of God. And you know how they can see that? It's if you die to yourself every day at home. If you take on the mindset of a servant, when you do that, God's glory comes out and your kids see it. And all of a sudden, God's glory is not just something we talk about. They see it visibly. But this is something that us brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to see in one another. Because let's face it, in our faith and in our walk, there's a lot of times where we're not captivated by God's glory or we don't see it. And all of a sudden, our faith just turns into religion and it's dry and it's dull. We all need to see it in one another and be reminded about the glories of God. And what that involves is us dying to ourselves for one another. And in our relationships here, that there is a sense of not saving ourselves, but always dying to save others, to give them life. As I close here, you know, one reason why hesitate to die is that I really don't believe that it'll bear fruit. Maybe some of you are like me. You know, I don't believe my dying to myself will really end on a positive note. I worry that I'll end up with nothing. I worry that others will win and I will lose. I worry that I'll just keep losing and losing. Or maybe you're in that place where you've already begun to die, and it's been a while now, and nothing has really changed, and you're starting to say, what's the use? What is it getting me? This is not going anywhere. And that's why we need to pay attention to what God the Father had said to Jesus. And what did he say to Jesus after Jesus spoke? He said, I will glorify it, and I will glorify it again. In that statement, God puts in the guarantee that Jesus' suffering and death will not be in vain. It will not be in vain. It will bear fruit. And that it will lead to glory. And sure enough, Jesus defeats Satan. And the floodgates are opened for salvation. And Jesus resurrects on the third day. Death always leads to fruit and to God's glory. And do you realize that you yourself are the fruit and glory of Jesus' death? That your faith in your salvation is evidence that fruit indeed comes from death. That we, all of us here, have been drawn to Jesus, haven't we? How true it is, how true God's word is, that death leads to fruit, that death leads to life, and it leads to God's glory. There is glory in death. There is glory in death. Are you dying now in some way? Are there areas in which you need to die? Press forward in obedience. Press forward in obedience. It is never in vain. I'm sure Jesus, to some degree, wondered, is this horrible death going to produce that fruit and that glory? And God the Father reassures him, I will glorify it. I'll glorify it again. Our death bears fruit. God will be glorified. Brothers and sisters, wherever you are in life, consider the call and consider the promise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, how he wrestled with the cross. It was going to be so gruesome and so cruel. It was so terrifying, and yet he entered into that suffering and that death to save us. He had that choice, and he decided he was going to die to save us. Lord, we see that our salvation is costly. It is a rich salvation. And God, let that be a motivation and a model for us, that we too, when faced with a situation in which we need to die, Lord, that we would gladly die. That we would gladly die, and not only know because, Lord, you love us so much, or that, you know, not only would that motivate us, but Lord, this is who we are. This is what we do. We're servants of your Son. But also to know that, oh Lord, there is fruit and glory at the other end. Lord, help us through your Holy Spirit to press forward in faith and obedience. And Lord, that your glory will be upon us and will shine through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.